Why get all your holiday decorations delivered through Instacart? Because maybe you only bought two wreaths, but you have 12 windows. Or maybe your toddler got very eager with the advent calendar. Or maybe the inflatable snowman didn't make it through the snowstorm. Or maybe the twinkle lights aren't twinkling. Whatever the reason, this season, Instacart's here for hosts and their whole holiday haul. Get decorations from the Home Depot, CVS, and more through Instacart and enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
It is Wednesday morning, November 13th, and it's going to be a rainy day today. 70% chance for showers. I think they're saying around 11 o'clock or something like that. It's going to come in through the afternoon and highs of 80. But then a front comes through, and thankfully tomorrow we'll see the sunshine again. Highs of 74 tomorrow, then lows Thursday night, Friday morning around 55. Highs of only 70 on Friday, and we're in the 70s through Sunday. Back to the 80s, lower 80s by Monday, upper 70s by Tuesday with a chance for showers, and maybe we'll start getting some fronts that come through. Dane Celino joins us now, our friend, professor of law at Loyola, to talk about the Ten Commandments situation and what the judge says and what Jeff Landry wants to do. Morning, Dane. How are you?
Morning, Tommy. Just fine.
I guess maybe we should start with the facts of the case. How about that? That sounds professorial, doesn't it?
It does indeed. Yeah, the Louisiana legislature in its last session passed a bill that required the posting of the Ten Commandments in public school classrooms across the state. As soon as it became law with Jeff Landry's signature, the law was challenged by some plaintiffs saying that the new law violated the First Amendment's Establishment Clause. And the matter has been pending in federal court in Baton Rouge since then. Yesterday, the district judge presiding over the case, granted the plaintiff's motion for a preliminary injunction and enjoined the state from enforcing that law, saying that the First Amendment and its Establishment Clause were violated by requiring school children to have to see the Ten Commandments in their classroom. So we have yet another Louisiana law being struck down by the federal courts as being unconstitutional.
So let's talk about what the Constitution says. Let me take a step back, Dane. When it comes to this step, was this ruling, was it surprising that it would happen at this juncture? And is the whole plan to get to the next step, the next court?
Yeah, not a surprise at all. I think everybody expected the plaintiffs to win and the state to lose at this stage in the district court because there's a 1980 U.S. Supreme Court opinion that addresses this exact issue that says that that the First Amendment doesn't permit this sort of legislation. Now, what's different and the end game for the state, the attorney general and the governor has always been to get this to the United States Supreme Court in hopes that the Supreme Court is going to revisit its existing precedent in this area and overrule it and find that the First Amendment is not offended by this sort of statute. And while I think everybody expected them to lose at this stage and everyone expects them to lose at the next stage, at the first appeal, it's anybody's guess what might happen when it gets to the Supreme Court.
There was a difference, right, in the approach as far as what was the distinction Liz Merle's trying to make with this as opposed to other Ten Commandment rulings you and I had spoken about before, I think?
Yeah. I mean, for the last 40 or 50 years, the court has used what's known as the Lemon versus Kurtzman test for evaluating whether statutes violate the First Amendment, which is a kind of a more complicated test that balances the secular purpose versus the religious purpose of a ordinance or statute. And the court threw that out about 3 or 4 years ago in favor of a history and tradition test, that if a practice that does have some religious effect is grounded in history and tradition, that it still would be okay under the First Amendment. That's what the argument is going to be when the state gets to the Supreme Court, that as a matter of history and tradition, there's been a kind of a long history and a long tradition of having the Ten Commandments posted, at least a long history before the U.S. Supreme Court adopted the Lemon versus Kurtzman test. I don't want to get too technical with everyone, but that's basically what it is.
So when it comes to, you know, people saying, doesn't the governor, doesn't the attorney general have better things to do with their time? When it comes to, I guess, defending a case like this, because now, well, plaintiff, which side are they on? There would be the defendant,
the state,
right?
Is the defendant. Right.
Yeah. When it comes to defending this, what kind of resources are we talking about? Are these people that are on staff that would be doing this anyway, so it really doesn't cost anything more? Does it cost the state money to do this? I'm just trying to figure out how all of this works. Are there court costs involved?
Oh, yeah, there's no doubt that this costs the state money. If the state loses, the state is going to have to pay the attorney's fees of the prevailing plaintiffs. So nothing's free, and the state will wind up having to pay, of course, all the lawyers defending it. But at the end of the day, they're going to have to pay all of the plaintiff's lawyers who brought the case because of the unconstitutional conduct.
All right, let me take a break. We'll pick it up. We come back, 504-260-1870. And I would just ask you, the audience, you can text me and let me know what you think. And I know everybody's all, you know, let's put the Ten Commandments up and it sounds great and everything else. But do you really think that it's going to make a difference, that people are going to look at the Ten Commandments, that the kids that are troubled in school, that the parents aren't keeping an eye on them, that posting the Ten Commandments is going to make a difference? Do you really think that this is going to do anything other than boost, and I'm just calling it for what it is, Dane, you can stay out of this, but boost the right cred of the far-right cred, whatever you call it, of Liz Merle and Jeff Landry? Because it just seems to me to be silly. Because I grew up and went to Catholic school my whole life, high school, up to high school. They never had the Ten Commandments posted in the classroom. They talked about it, but that had nothing to do with the way I was raised. It was the way my parents raised me, and it just seems like a big waste of time and money for somebody to promote their own political career. But you can text me, let me know what you think. That's my opinion. I'm entitled to it. You can text me yours at 504-260-1870. 621 now, traffic, WWL.
Why get all your holiday decorations delivered through Instacart? Because maybe you only bought 2 wreaths, but you have 12 windows. Or maybe your toddler got very eager with the advent calendar. Or maybe the inflatable snowman didn't make it through the snowstorm. Or maybe the twinkle lights aren't twinkling. Whatever the reason, this season, Instacart's here for hosts and their whole holiday haul. Get decorations from the Home Depot, CVS, and more through Instacart and enjoy free delivery on your first 3 orders. Service fees and terms apply.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, 626, Tommy Tucker, WWL, talking to Dane Cialino, professor of law at Loyola, about the Ten Commandments ruling. And I asked you to text in. Somebody texted in, said, Jeff Landry's on a power trip. Why don't you put a tiger in every classroom? I get the sarcasm there. As a high school teacher, this is a waste of time and money that could have been spent better on schools. Somebody texted in, good morning, Tommy. Ask the professor how this law affects increasing amount of Muslim and other religions' backgrounds. And somebody else texted in and said that, well, if they put the Ten Commandments up, I want the Quran or quotes from the Quran listed in the classroom as well. Does that open a can of worms? And And ultimately, when you talk about the Ten Commandments, although it's not specifically Christian, does that open the door for other religions that want to be represented?
All very good points. Showing the problems with doing just what the legislature has done.
So how do you see this playing out, or do you have any idea, given the choice of the or at least given the makeup of the Supreme Court, I guess?
Yeah, right now, yesterday's opinion was technically just a preliminary ruling pending the formal final trial on the merits. But I would expect that both parties are going to ask the judge to convert this preliminary injunction into a permanent injunction, enter a final judgment so the matter could go straight to the Fifth Circuit in New Orleans. The Fifth Circuit will deliberate the case for at least another 6-8 months, and it won't even be presented to the Supreme Court for probably another year. But once it gets there, I would think it's got some chance of prevailing if the court takes that history and tradition approach. But the court may not want to revisit that existing precedent and may just apply stare decisis and say, we're just going to leave this alone. The court, though, has shown willingness to overturn longstanding precedents, most famously overturning Roe versus Wade in the Dobbs opinion a couple of years ago. But, I would be surprised if the court would readdress this under their new approach to the Establishment Clause, but you never know.
Somebody texted in and said, what if the state wins? Do the plaintiffs pay?
No, it's a one-way street for payment in these civil rights cases under Section 1988 of the United States Code, that the prevailing plaintiffs can win their costs, but not the other way around.
Thank you, Dane. Appreciate your time as always. Dane Cialino, professor of law at Loyola. Some of the other texts that are coming in, will it hurt in any way if the commandments are posted? No, it won't hurt, but why don't you paint every classroom orange? That's not going to hurt either, and it's going to cost money. Somebody else texted and said, believing in going to church will make you a Christian. It's like believing standing in a garage will make you a car. Somebody else texted and said, conservatives always push the narrative that Democrats are always trying to force an agenda on you. That's a prime example of forcing an agenda on you. Somebody else said the status quo isn't working. Well, no, we do have problems with juvenile crime and juveniles doing what they're supposed to do. But I think it's a quantum leap to say that posting the Ten Commandments in the classroom is going to help. And again, my thing is, if you believe in the Constitution, you believe in the Constitution, and you can't morph it and change it into what you want and not what the other person doesn't want, right? I mean, if it says Congress shall make no law Congress shall make no law establishing a religion, well, then adhere to that and teach religion in a private school or teach religion at home. At least that's the way I see it. We'll take a break, come back, talk about the mayoral race in New Orleans. Right now, time for WWL First News. 6:45, quarter till 7, Tommy Tucker, WWL, talking to Ed Shervinak, our friend, professor of political science at my alma mater, UNO. How you doing, Ed?
I'm doing well, Tommy. How are you today?
I'm okay. Let's talk about the timing of the mayoral race and how much time LaToya Cantrell has left as mayor of New Orleans.
Sure. Well, she's entering the last year of her tenure, and so she's basically entering lame duck status. And so now people are jockeying to replace her come next October. It'll be October 2025 when we have the mayoral race.
So the first question is, why would anybody, I'm not trying to be flippant when I say this, Ed, but when you look at the problems that the city has, boy, talk about endless, glamorous, thankless job. And in no way am I defending LaToya Cantrell, but you better watch what you ask for because you may just get it, right?
That's absolutely right. It's a tough job. But people believe that they want to serve and they feel that they can make a difference. And so they think they can bring their people in, they can bring their ideas in, and change the direction of the city.
So let's look at it two ways. So you just said it. You want to serve. You care about the city. You want to do what's best for New Orleans, and you bleed purple, gold, and green, and you're willing to take on the job. On the other hand, are there any benefits? Where do you go after you are mayor of New Orleans long term if somebody has long term political ambitions?
You know, the record for post mayoral careers in New Orleans is not very good. We see Mark Morial as head of the Urban League. You know, Mitch Landrieu working for the Biden administration in Washington, D.C. But outside of that, we don't see a lot of success by former mayors. They pretty much don't have much future in Louisiana politics. We're a Democratic city in a fiery red state. So it's very limited in terms of what they can do, at least in terms of what we've seen so far.
So the point I was trying to make is you're not really, if you are running for mayor, you would think you're doing it because you care about the city and you want to make a difference, because it's not really going to be a launching pad to anything, is it?
No, it's not typically a launching pad. You know, being a mayor, you know, you could move on to be governor, you know, and of course every governor believes they can be the next president. But, you know, that's probably just not going to happen here in Louisiana.
But New Orleans, Orleans Parish, is a blue island in a red sea, correct?
That is correct. We are a blue dot in what someone termed a fiery red state.
Fiery red state. So let's talk about who some of the contenders are. I believe Helena Moreno, no surprises, already announced. Is that right?
She hasn't formally announced, but certainly it's not the best kept secret is that she wants to run. She's been holding fundraisers. She's been hiring people for her campaign team, her consultants, her media people, her pollsters. So we can expect her to announce probably sometime soon. Other names that are out there, Councilmember Oliver Thomas from District E, he's making some noise about running. Also, State Senator Royce DePlessis is also considering whether it makes sense for him to run or not. We've got a couple of long shots. The Nooney man, Belden Badist, said he's going to run a self-funded mayoral campaign. And Ricky Twiggs, a licensed counselor, he announced his candidacy earlier as well.
How would this compare and contrast to the last mayoral campaign, Ed?
Well, the last campaign, we had an incumbent mayor, so...
I misspoke. Before that. The last time we didn't have an incumbent mayor, because it's in Orleans Parish. If you're an incumbent, you're pretty well guaranteed a second term almost, right?
Almost. Yeah. Historically speaking, we've never denied an incumbent mayor a second term. Well, you know, a lot of people feel that the city's at a crossroads right now, that, you know, we can continue spiraling down, losing population, not being a magnet for business, or that someone can come in and change things, change the culture in City Hall, get City Hall to work, be able to negotiate with corporate heads, bring in businesses to New Orleans to make it a more economically viable and dynamic city.
All right, let me take a break. We'll pick it up. We come back, talk about some other names possible. I know Helena Moreno does have experience not only as a council member, but a representative, state representative. We'll talk about how she would stack up against potential contenders, and are there any other names that are flying beneath the radar, somebody you might think of that would have a chance of becoming the next mayor of the city of New Orleans. 6:50, 10 till 7, traffic now, WWL. 6:56, 4 till 7, Natalie J. Rowe joins. I'm Tommy Tucker, WWL. Natalie J. Rowe joins us, our friend, president, CEO of Second Harvest Food Bank, talking about the Thanksgiving meal drive goal that's going on at Second Harvest. How you doing, Natalie?
I'm great, Tommy. How are you doing?
I am okay, and I'm thrilled to have you on because, and I tell this story often, I know somebody that is besieged with offers for charities, and they say the only one to give to is Second Harvest. Nothing against any other charities, because they know it's going to be used to feed hungry people and it's not going to be wasted.
So, well, that's so good to hear. We're so grateful that the community trusts us to do this work for them.
Tell me about the food drive.
Well, this Thanksgiving, we've got more than 24 events going on across our communities. And that includes giving away more than 3,000 turkeys and holiday boxes, all kinds of sponsors like Chevron, Sempre, Ochsner, People's Health. We'll be doing meals for seniors at community centers across South Louisiana with People's Health. just so many exciting and festive things happening, and we're so grateful for all these donors that make this happen for us. Also, we've got a match, so that for any donations that you give us from November 11th through 28th, they will be doubled by an anonymous donor, and then we have Giving Tuesday on Tuesday, December 3rd. So lots of things happening. It's always a busy time of year. We're so grateful that people think about their neighbors.
Let's talk about volunteering. Do you need help, especially during Thanksgiving?
Oh, my gosh. Oh, my gosh. We need more than 200 volunteers a day to do what we do. Starting in the morning at 6 a.m. when we pack meals for our seniors across five councils on aging. Then we move on to preparing meals for children for after-school programs, but we're also packing 20,000 boxes every month for seniors across South Louisiana. We do all of that with our volunteers, so please, 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 if you have time, come to be with us. And then, of course, at all the distributions where we'll be at the Lower Ninth and Guest Homes and other places, we always welcome volunteers to help us.
How do people find out about volunteering and finding shifts that are open, or how do they go about it, vetting, et cetera, Natalie?
Yes, if they will just go onto our website at no-hunger.org, that will take them directly to our volunteer page where they can sign up for a shift. So it's made easy for everyone. It will give you all the details of the things that we're doing. And by the way, if you know someone that needs help, please direct them to that website also. We have a map on that website that shows where our partner is in the neighborhood closest to you. So please, if you're involved with Second Harvest or know someone that needs our help, please come to our website at no-hunger.org.
Somebody texted in specifically about Thanksgiving Day. Are you in need of volunteers for Thanksgiving Day?
You know, most of our partners want to do the distributions before Thanksgiving Day because we actually are handing out boxes and turkeys that people cook for the day. So, but we also have other partners that are doing Thanksgiving Day distributions. And I would say OZNMN is probably doing something like that. You can certainly come onto our website and we can direct you to our partners that will actually be open on Thanksgiving Day.
Thank you, Natalie. Happy Thanksgiving.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.